It's 1240 at KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. What's the best, most equitable, most visible platform for organizing our social, economic, and cultural life in the 21st century? The internet is not the answer. That's according to Andrew Keen, and that's the title of his new book. Keen turns a critical eye on big internet-based companies like Amazon and Google. He told my colleague Marcy Silman that the commercialization of the internet unleashed a massive gold rush that's made the internet less equitable.
The Googles, the Ubers, the Facebooks, the Airbnbs, these companies are not designing a world that most of us want. They're creating a business environment dominated by surveillance. They are exploiting the customer. Amazon is another example, which is practicing poor labor practices. So overall, the internet not being the answer doesn't mean that the internet will never be the answer. But at the moment, the digital world that's replacing the analog world, the industrial world, isn't solving our core problems. It's actually compounding them. It's compounding inequalities of wealth. It's deepening our crisis of unemployment. And most of all, it's creating a big data economy where we've been packaged up as the product. We're being sold by these large companies, and we're being exploited because we're working in what I call data factories, but we're not being paid for that.
At its inception, the internet, or some of the utopians who worked on this idea, intended this as a decentralized system. And I think that there are purveyors of sites like Wikipedia who still maintain that the internet is a place of democracy where everyone can have an impact. Do you still believe that's possible?
Well, one of the things I try and argue in the book is that decentralized structures don't do away with the idea of power. People are writing books now like with titles like The End of Power. Thomas Friedman wrote a book called The World is Flat. We've all been told that the digital revolution flattens everything. But use Google as an example. Google's power is based on its decentralized structure. Google's power is nodal. There's no center to Google. Google has essentially colonized the web by crawling it. Which means that Google, in a sense, is all edge. It has no center, but it's still an incredibly powerful company. So the fact that it has no center, the fact that it isn't traditionally hierarchical like an industrial company, doesn't lessen its power. The new structures of power in the 21st century are based on the edge rather than the center. They're different from the old hierarchies of industrial power. When it comes to Wikipedia, Wikipedia is a promising product, although I think for the most part it remains unreliable. But of course, the problem with Wikipedia is that it doesn't generate any revenue for the people who contribute to it. It's a non-profit. And I want the internet to be a success as a marketplace rather than just as a non-profit.
You mentioned jobs a couple of minutes ago. What changes have you seen in the American or even the global job market as this internet, as we know it, has grown?
In my book, I have contrasting chapters, one on Kodak, the quintessential industrial company, the photography company. It employed 140,000 people at its pomp. It had factories, research centers. It was a people-centric company. And it also provided a rich civic life for a town like Rochester. In contrast, what's replaced the Kodak economy, or what we might think of as the Kodak moment in history, is the Instagram moment. Instagram now is how we do our photography. And when Instagram was sold to Facebook, it employed, for $1 billion, it employed 35 people. This doesn't make the internet bad. It doesn't make internet companies mad. It certainly doesn't make Facebook or Instagram bad. But it represents a fundamental shift. These new companies, these software companies, don't employ people, even Google, which employs 40,000 people, is worth more than General Electric, General Motors, Ford, and employs far less people. So the problem is that we're working in the factories for free. On Instagram, the reason why so few people work for it is because we're creating its content. Every time we put a new photograph up on Instagram, it adds value. But we're not working for Instagram. We're not paid by them. We don't have any job security. All these are software companies. Marc Andreessen, the Silicon Valley venture capitalist, who was the original boy tycoon of Silicon Valley with Netscape, he said software is eating the world. He's right. And as software eats the world, it's also eating our jobs.
I'm speaking to you right now from Seattle, the heart of Amazon, which you address at length in your book, a company that is adding jobs, is adding actual buildings in our city, 40,000 jobs in recent years, which sounds enormous. It's the type of job and the labor practices that you have problems with.
Yeah, Amazon's different from companies like Google and Facebook and Instagram. I think with Amazon, we've struck a Faustian bargain. With Amazon, Jeff Bezos, who I admire greatly, I think he's much more of a mensch than most of the Silicon Valley leaders, a brilliantly articulate man, has essentially done a deal with us. He said, look, the consumer is key. The consumer is king. We're going to do everything for the consumer. We're going to provide a wonderfully reliable product and really cheap prices. And we've all embraced that Faustian bargain. But what we've forgotten about is the dark side of that bargain. The dark side, of course, is Amazon's treatment of its workers, which I deal with in the book, its exploitative manner, its lack of respect for its workers, its hostility to unions, the fights on the union front now that are taking place in Europe. Secondly, also, I think, we forget about the other costs of Amazon when it comes to jobs. Amazon, the success of Amazon, has decimated the independent book retail sector. It means tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs through that. So the dark side of Amazon, I think, is unacknowledged, and we have to acknowledge our own role in this. It's all too easy to blame a Bezos. All too easy to blame a Zuckerberg. But they've spoilt us as consumers. They've given us everything. They've told us that the world is free. And of course, that's the ultimate seduction. We've enjoyed that seduction, and now we're beginning to understand its costs.
Andrew Keen, some of your critics say that what is happening now with the internet economy isn't really any different from other areas of massive industrial growth and expansion, like the Rockefeller era or, industrial England, for that matter. Are these critics right? Is it the same thing?
I wouldn't call them critics because I would agree with them. If we were around at the beginning of the 19th century, we would be listening to someone like Lord Byron, a Luddite, who was actually, interestingly enough, the father of Ada Lovelace, who was the first computer programmer. Lord Byron would have said, smash the factories. This isn't going to work. It's a catastrophe for humanity. Byron was wrong. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not a follower of Lord Byron. I think that this system needs to be reformed. But the critics would acknowledge there's a need for regulation. Had there not been regulators at the beginning of the 19th century, then 11-year-olds would still be working in factories. Then our cities would remain disgustingly polluted. Then we'd still have these robber baron capitalists without any moral sense of duty towards the community. So that's what needs to change. We don't need to undermine the digital revolution. We don't want to go back to the past. I'm not a nostalgist for another age. But what I am calling for and what we need to call for from learning from history is a reform of a system that at the moment is out of control, that's completely deregulated.
Are you optimistic?
I am cautiously optimistic. I feel that the zeitgeist is shifting, but I feel that it's with conversations like this that we can really change things. I think I'm about as optimistic as I would have been in about 1820. I hope that the digital revolution has the same kind of overall success as the industrial revolution had.
Andrew Keen, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Andrew Keen's new book, The Internet is Not the Answer. He spoke with Marcy Silman. What do you think about what he had to say? Write to us, record@kuow.org. If you want to hear more, Andrew Keen speaks at Town Hall Seattle Thursday night at 6 o'clock. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.